This is Grave Confessions from the Grave Talks. Daily, raw, real, and disturbing accounts of the living interacting with the dead. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal, supernatural, or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813. Now, today's grave confession.
This is Shannon from Missouri again. I saw that you, well, actually, I heard that you recently played my theater, the Haunted Theater, call that I put in, and I actually saw those, our friends, recently, and they reminded me of a few other things. So this is kind of like a part two to that whole theater story. So anybody that didn't hear it the first time, I won't go into all of it, but our friends had, when they were kind of first married and starting out, they had purchased a theater and lived above the theater. And they decided, this was an old movie theater, I have no idea, like maybe in the 50s or the 60s it showed movies, but by the time they had purchased it, like in the mid to late 90s, they were using it to feature up-and-coming rock bands that would come through the area or would travel, you know, in and around the Midwest. And the first thing my friend said she did definitely notice was, like, they were trying to make repairs, and obviously they were doing all kinds of, like, fix-it-up things because it was a really old theater, and the seats would be down. And she would always notice the same seats that would be down, so she would assume they were, you know, needed to be repaired, and they would go to repair them, and they didn't need to be repaired. So she thought that was weird. She didn't think much of it. But then they started, different people started hearing the voices, like I mentioned, those around the stage. And she said what was weird is you could never understand what they said, but you knew there were different ones. There was more than one, and they had different personalities, really distinct personalities. Like I said, one had, they nicknamed them, and one was like the angry one. One was the crier. One was the joker. It was just really, really strange, and the bands would even hear about it, and they would want, they would, well, they would always laugh, and then they would, some actually would ask if they could, like, sleep over on, in the theater area and see, like, just if anything would happen, and they said no one made it. No one would stay the night. They would leave in the middle of the night because it freaked them out so bad, and they said, like, if you put your ear to the stage, the voices would get louder and louder. Well, my friends lived above the theater, and her father-in-law and, like, some of, like, they couldn't afford really to have employees. They were just starting out. So their family members and friends would help them. And I guess one time, I did not say this in my first part, her father-in-law was doing some helping out in the theater area, and he felt, like, he said it was like a cold, somebody blew cold air on the back of his neck. And he said it was as if it was like a freezer door opening, except you're in the middle of an old theater aisle. He would not, he told them, he goes, I would love to help you, but I'm never going back in that theater again. He was terrified. And he literally said it was as if a large freezer door with force had come across the back of his neck. He just said it was something like you knew something was not right. Another time, one of their friends was kind of helping move some stuff in some boxes that was like up and down the stairs, and he got pushed. Now, he luckily did not go flying down the stairs with these boxes, but something pushed him from behind, and it wasn't, there was no one behind him because our friends were in front of him and he was following behind them with the boxes, and there was no one that was in the place that could have done it, and no one that was there that was human or alive. So he was like, he felt the hands on the back, on his back, and he was like, that really freaked him out. And he was, he just said to them, like, I just got pushed. And, you know, they knew that there was stuff going on, obviously. And then, she was also telling me that they were, you know, doing some repairs up in where they lived, because they lived above the theater in like these, kind of these like apartment areas, like it's a, kind of like a larger apartment. And I think they took up two apartments because it was, again, it was like an old building, and they were painting the hallways and stuff. And she said, like, they were actually, I think it was like they were white walls, but they were painting it a color. And I don't remember what color she said it was. I don't want to, you know, say the wrong thing, but I knew they were painting it with a color. She said words would appear on the wall. Like she said, I don't, nothing was like, nothing, again, was malevolent or anything. It was just, like, it was almost like, it was, like, attention grabbing. Like, it would say something like, high, or, you know, it would just be strange. And I think she said she thought her husband did it, like maybe because, you know, some, I know when I've painted before, like helped a friend, and you're painting a white wall and you're using a color, you kind of like jokingly like make funny like things before you paint over it just to be funny. And she thought that's what her husband had done. And then I think she didn't even ask him about it at first because she was kind of in charge of doing the painting in the hallway. And then I think she mentioned it to him and she said, why do you keep painting these? And then I think sometimes it was symbols, like it would be a smiley face or something like that. And she asked him and he goes, what are you talking about? And she goes, come on. And he goes, she said, there's stuff that, and he thought she was, when she said it to him, he's like, what are you, that sounds crazy. And she's like, well, I just don't understand why these things keep popping up and I paint over, you know, like she it took her a while. There was like a long hallway. Cause I said, well, would you paint over it? And then it would like go down in the next area. And she goes, yeah, because I wasn't finishing. It was taking me a while. She was doing it in phases. So it's not like she painted the hallways in one day. It was like she kind of began a project and she did part of it because they had a lot of work to do. And she just said as like she would paint over whatever, you know, appeared. And then as like, you know, the wall went down, it would paint, it would just be, you know, more symbols or words, but it never wrote it like anything long out. It was just these little things. It's just, like I said, like kind of attention grabbing, like to tell you, to make you think or something. I have no idea what it was doing, but, it just got to the point where they just, and then one night her husband said that he was sleeping and it felt like somebody took a hand went over his face kind of and pushed on it. That really freaked him out. Like it didn't hurt him, but it was like somebody was pushing. And again, I would call that, I mean, I know a lot of people talk about like sleep paralysis. I really, that is something I don't know much about. I only know what I've heard on your show and sometimes on just through what other people have said about it. And I know nothing about it. I've never experienced it. So I don't even want to comment on it because I feel like that wouldn't be right of me to even speculate. But he just said that it was like somebody's hand was pushing on his forehead and it woke him up, obviously, because he, you know, you feel like there's pressure on your forehead. You're going to be like, what the hell? And it really scared him. And they really couldn't get out of it. I said to her, I don't know how in the hell you stayed in that place. You know, I would have been scared to be there alone. And she said that, you know, they did get used to it. I know that sounds crazy. How do you get used to that? But she said it's not like it happened every second of every day. When I tell the story, it sounds like the stuff's going on like crazy, like the Poltergeist movie, but it wasn't. It was kind of like very spread out, but it did freak out a lot of different people. The bands, it wasn't just those two that lived there experiencing it. The bands that were there experienced it. Their in-laws experienced it. You know, their families experienced it. Friends experienced it. So there was definitely like major activity. I think old theaters probably have it. I've seen those on like, you know, the, you know, biography channels or the history channels where they have featured old, you know, theaters that have, you know, are allegedly haunted. And I could see why. There's a lot of people that perform there and pass through there and work there. And that makes sense to me that you have a lot of different people that go into a theater. And I agree with Jenny when she commented on my story about, you know, the first time my part one of the theater, that it was very creepy. And I absolutely agree with you. It is extremely creepy and I would not be comfortable living there. I think they were kind of tied up financially with it for a while, because when you buy something like that, it's not easy to sell it. But they did eventually sell it. And when I just spoke to them recently at this party, she told me how the front of it, where all the old charm of that old theater had actually just crumbled and fallen apart because they had driven by it, I guess. And she was telling me about that actually broke her heart, because they were into the old look of the theater. That's what part of why they wanted to feature the rock bands there, because they thought that was so cool that there's this old theater and they could, you know, maybe hopefully keep the beauty of that old building. But unfortunately, whoever bought it from them just did not keep it up, and it had to be the front of like, it had to be torn down. And she said that was really sad to see. But again, she doesn't know if that owner experiences any paranormal activity, and she certainly, like her and her husband, haven't since. But this was kind of the part two, because I had forgotten to tell you guys about that other stuff, and I didn't remember it, to be honest with you. I was like, I really remembered the bathroom story more than anything, where she went in there and then, you know, had the feeling get out, and then her husband tried to push that door open, and then they left, and then the door was wide open with the door stopper. That was the part that I remembered more than anything. But that whole theater had stuff going on in it. But I do know that her father-in-law, you know, her husband's father, like absolutely dead set refused to step foot back into that theater area. I think he would go up to their apartment, but after something blew like that, he said like that freezer feeling, like it felt like a freezer blew on the back of his like neck and back area when he was in there. He was like, I am never going back into that place again. And that was it for him. He had felt enough. He had experienced enough. And I think the bands that left in the middle of the night were, you know, freaked out too. They said, I don't know how in the world you managed to live above this place, but this place is really creepy. But like she said, she got freaked out in the shower when that hand slapped the glass. She felt like it sounded like a hand, but that freaked her out. But she said that, for the most part, the other stuff became very it just started to become normal. I know, and that sounds like to me, I'm like normal, but I think when you live there for a few years and it doesn't happen every day, I've heard other people on the show say the same thing, like, you know, like ghost cats and things like that, that I've heard, like people just, it's like, well, yeah, that's been going on here for a while. I'm used to it. And that's kind of how they were. But I do know that when her husband had that hand pressed on his forehead, that was a little bit much. I mean, that's like that'll freak you out. And they were ready to go. I don't think they left because they were scared, but I think they left because it was very, very expensive to maintain a large theater like that and to rely on bands and stuff. But it's still there. The front of it had to be pulled down, and now it's been kind of redone because it fell apart. But it is still there, and I did talk to them, so they confirmed all the other stuff. I even double checked because I wanted to make sure that I was accurate, and they confirmed that I was accurate. So this was kind of my part two, and I felt like I had to tell the rest of it. But I'm sure it's still the same. I'm sure that stuff is still going on there. So, yes, a very haunted theater indeed. But anyway, I hope you guys are having a great start to the holiday season. I can't believe Christmas is around the corner. And join the show. I love hearing everybody else's stories on here, too. It's definitely become a daily ritual. So, anyway, have a great week. Thanks.
This has been a Grave Confession
from the Grave Talks. To share your grave confession experience with the paranormal or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813.